For a large selection of Bibles and Christian books, stop by the Utah Christian Research Center. The Utah Christian Research Center is open Wednesday through Saturday at 10 a.m., located 1 mile west of the I-15 at 579 West Galena Park Place in Draper, Utah. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What does it mean to think celestial? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Thinking celestial, that was the topic of a conference message by the 17th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Russell M. Nelson. This conference message can be found in the November 2023 edition of the Liahona magazine. The pull quote in this article is, "Your choices will determine where you will live throughout eternity, the kind of body with which you will be resurrected, and those with whom you will live forever." Now, for the most part, Eric, I would say that when it comes to that pull quote where it says, "Your choices will determine where you will live throughout eternity," I don't think we as New Testament Christians would have much of a problem with that, because certainly those who choose to come to Christ, that's going to have a certain kind of a consequence, a positive consequence. And those who refuse to come to Christ, they're going to engage in what we would call a negative consequence. But when we get into this idea of the kind of body with which you will be resurrected, he's going to explain why, and it has to do with the three kingdoms of glory. Now, it's interesting that this conference message, there was another talk on the three kingdoms of glory, and that was given by Dallin Oaks as a member of the First Presidency, was trying to explain what they are and what's required to go there. So this seems to be in the October General Conference 2023, that seemed to be a hot topic. And so we want to go through what Russell M. Nelson had to say. But first of all, I want to just say up front, I don't think much of what Nelson had to say was all that profound. Now, certainly he does get into some unique LDS teaching, but it really isn't all that profound. And I'm going to explain myself a little later on as we go.
Well, you have to understand that he was not at the General Conference. This was taped. He was sitting down because he's had some health issues. But after this was given on the Sunday afternoon session, immediately I started to see Facebook light up with all of these proclamations of how Russell M. Nelson has given us something that is just so incredible. And I hadn't heard the talk. I had not read anything about it, but I'm thinking, think celestial. Okay, how is this going to be anything that's so earth-shattering? But it's been very popular with Latter-day Saints, citing from it and referring to it.
Yeah, I want to save what I want to say till we get to the portions where he says certain things. But I want to reiterate, I didn't think that a lot of the things that Russell M. Nelson were unique. They are things that Christians have said for years. We just use a different terminology, but he does give us a definition of what think celestial means, and we'll talk about that when we get there. But let's just jump into his message, because as you mentioned, he does talk about how he had injured the muscles in his back, and he was talking about his age. He says, "At my age, each new day brings wonderful as well as challenging surprises." Well, that's because at this time, he just celebrated his 99th birthday. And I admit, that's quite a milestone. Most of the leadership of the LDS Church are certainly up in age, in their 80s and 90s. And to the detriment of the church, some younger people think that's what puts them out of touch. And that's why they have some problems with these old guys running the church, because they are making decisions based on their more traditional understanding of things. And younger people tend to not go along with some of that.
He's the oldest living president, and here he is giving this talk, and he asks the question, Bill, what have I learned in nearly a century of living? Now, that's going to be an interesting thing, because you want to hear from somebody who's been around for 100 years. This is what he says. Time today does not allow me to answer that question fully, but may I share one of the most crucial lessons I have learned? I have learned that Heavenly Father's plan for us is fabulous, that what we do in this life really matters, and that the Savior's atonement is what makes our Father's plan possible.
Well, we should explain, first of all, for our listeners who might not be familiar, the Savior's atonement within the context of Mormonism is certainly very different than what we would understand the atonement to be as described by the New Testament. In Mormonism, they would say that the atonement, like salvation itself, is twofold. The atonement of Christ allows for all mankind to be resurrected from the dead, but it also opens the door for an individual to do certain things that will gain them, you might say, more perks in the hereafter. It's otherwise known as individual salvation or even exaltation.
In the April 2003 Ensign, page 48 of an article written by Area Authority 70, Lyndon J. Robinson, this is what he said. Because of Christ's atonement, all people will be resurrected and have their bodies and spirits reunited. This is a universal gift. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:22. However, overcoming spiritual death and becoming reunited with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ requires the Savior's grace and our own best efforts.
The Savior's grace and our own best efforts. Gee, what does that sound like, Eric? Does it kind of give the impression he's getting it from 2 Nephi 25:23 in the Book of Mormon that says that we are saved by grace after all we can do? And what's interesting about the way he cites it there, he doesn't seem to cite it in the way many Latter-day Saints would like to cite it, and that is in spite of all we can do. Doesn't sound like he was saying it that way in that citation that you just gave. But let's go on and let's continue with Russell M. Nelson's Think Celestial.
As I have wrestled with the intense pain caused by my recent injury, I have felt even deeper appreciation for Jesus Christ and the incomprehensible gift of his atonement. Think of it. The Savior suffered pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind so that he can comfort us, heal us, rescue us in times of need. Jesus Christ described his experience in Gethsemane and on Calvary. And then he quotes out of D&C section 19, which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain and to bleed at every pore.
Well, let me comment on that, because he introduces Doctrine and Covenants 19:18, but I think he introduces it a bit incorrectly. He says that Jesus Christ described his experience in Gethsemane and on Calvary. That passage from D&C 19:18 has often been cited, but in order to emphasize that the atonement took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, it doesn't mention Calvary at all, and I can't recall, except for maybe Nelson quoting it in this way, of any other leader really looking at D&C 19:18 as speaking of Calvary. Now, in the early years of Mormonism, there was not a real problem with talking about the cross. In fact, the Book of Mormon talks about it. But then later on, around the time of David O. McKay, the emphasis was not so much on the cross anymore, but it was moving towards the emphasis on the Garden of Gethsemane, that that's where the atonement took place. And there have been leaders that have gone so far as to say is that's where Jesus paid for our sins. And of course, that raises the question, well, if that's where he paid for our sins, then why did he need to go to the cross at Calvary? What would be left over that he would have to cover at that location? I've never heard a good explanation for that question. Certainly, he is not denying Calvary here, and he's not denying Gethsemane, because in Mormonism, the atonement took place now in both places, they will say.
D&C 19:18 says, which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain and to bleed at every pore and to suffer both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. Now, you're right, Bill. many Latter-day Saint leaders don't so much stress the Gethsemane as they used to, but certainly it has been something that has always been mentioned in Mormonism. Let me just give you one quote from Gerald N. Lund, who was part of the Second Quorum of the 70s, in the Ensign magazine, April of 1981, page 22. He says, "And so, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ stood before the law and paid the price in suffering for every sin as though he himself had committed them."
Now, you see, that confirms the point that I made earlier. If he paid for every sin, there's no sins to pay for on the cross at Calvary. And this is just one more aspect of confusion when we look at Mormon theology. But then he goes on to say, "My injury has caused me to reflect again and again on the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. During my healing, the Lord has manifested his divine power in peaceful and unmistakable ways."
He goes on and says, "Because of Jesus Christ's infinite atonement, our Heavenly Father's plan is a perfect plan. An understanding of God's fabulous plan takes the mystery out of life and the uncertainty out of our future."
Let me stop you there, because that comment I found to be quite interesting. An understanding of God's fabulous plan takes the mystery out of life and the uncertainty out of our future. Now, I'm going to assume when he says that he's speaking on behalf of an individual member that might be listening to him and trying to tell them that if you understand God's fabulous plan, the mystery of your personal life actually becomes something that is certain. But yet we don't find that with a lot of Latter-day Saints. We're not saying that they don't have any idea as to where they're going to go in the next life when it pertains to either the celestial kingdom, which is the top level, or the terrestrial kingdom in the middle, or the telestial kingdom, that is the lower kingdom. Certainly they know they're going to end up in one of those places, but do they really have the certainty that they are going to qualify to get into the celestial kingdom? Now that becomes a little more sketchy with many members of the LDS Church. But I don't know how you can have that certainty, because I've often told people that once you add works into the equation as being a requirement in order to get the best that God has for you, that certainty goes right out the window. The reason why we have certainty is because our trust is completely in what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. There's nothing that we could possibly add or take away from that. That's why we have certainty. It was already paid in full.
Many times in witnessing conversations, I like to bring up 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, which says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And yet, when I ask Latter-day Saints if they know where they're going, they don't have any certainty at all. They're very uncertain. They say, "I hope, I wish." Well, we've talked about this many times before, but Latter-day Saint, for the most part, does not have an idea of what he is qualified for.
This is why that statement that Nelson makes is a bit puzzling to me, at least on a street level. Now, maybe Nelson hangs around in his little circles when he's got all these other general authorities around, and I don't know, maybe they do pat each other on the back and say, "Hey, boy, aren't we doing a great job? Just can't wait for Judgment Day, because I know I'm going to come out shining." That's not usually the attitude we see on the streets when we're talking to the average member. In tomorrow's show, we're going to continue looking at this conference message that was given by Russell M. Nelson, "Think Celestial."
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.